From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, commentary, and so forth. Also, we will play some songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz, 4750 kHz, and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news for the headlines. Minister Juliari P. Batubara ensures adequate rice supply for social assistance. Minister Teten Mas Duki preparing a program for MSMEs to improve quality. Now the news in details. Minister of Social Affairs Juliari P. Batubara has ensured adequate rice supply for social assistance to 10 million beneficiaries of the Family Hope Program PKH until October. The rice aid would be dispersed in two stages, where each household would receive 30 kilograms in September and 15 kilograms in October. In addition to the implementation of the social safety net scheme, the synergy between the ministry and the state logistic agency will help the distribution of rice stocks in the state logistic agency's warehouses. Hence, the agency can absorb more farmers' rice, and this can improve the farmers' welfare. Minister of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises Teten Mas Duki said that his side has prepared training programs for micro, small, and medium enterprises by preparing human resources and marketing opportunities, including financing. At the Dharma Negara Alaya building in Denpasar City, Bali, on Sunday said that his side has found a major role model. In Bali, the micro, small and medium enterprises can increase their production and marketing capacity. During the discussion with the micro, small and medium enterprises, Minister Teten Mas Duki encouraged micro business to prepare all their needs, including human resources readiness, quality products, marketing and licensings. He also remarked that the central government, through the assistance of the presidential assistance programs, has currently budgeted 22 trillion rupiah for micro businesses that are spread throughout Indonesia. The Wear Mask Movement, or GPM, and the Clean, Beautiful, Healthy and Safe, or BISA movement, which are being implemented in various tourism destinations, are considered to enhance the trust of tourists in Indonesia, which is safe to visit. Deputy for Strategic Policy of the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Tourism and Creative Economy Agency, Kurleni Ukar, emphasized on Sunday that both GPM and BISA movement were initiated as a form of adaptations to new habits in traveling amid the COVID-19 pandemic. She also pointed out that currently Indonesia is entering into a new normal, so everyone must be ready with 3M, namely wearing a mask, keeping distance, and washing hands, including when traveling. She further stated that the two movements were initiated to foster the confidence of domestic and foreign tourists that tourism destinations in Indonesia have implemented health protocols well. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. Prime Minister Boris Johnson is expected to say that if no agreement on trade between the European Union and the United Kingdom can be reached by 15 October, both sides should accept that and move on. Prime Minister Johnson will say completing the UK's exit from the European Union without a trade deal would still be a good outcome. It comes after UK chief negotiators David Frost said the UK is not scared of walking away. The new bill would eliminate the legal force of arrangement for customs in Northern Ireland, which had been designed to avoid a hard border with the Irish Republic. It would also override provisions on state aid, the financial assistance sometimes given by the government to companies. China reported 12 new COVID-19 cases for September 6. The National Health Commission said in a statement that all new cases were imported infections involving travelers from overseas, marking the 22nd consecutive day of no local infections. The commission also reported 17 new asymptomatic infections, unchanged from a day earlier. China does not count symptomless patients as confirmed cases. The total of confirmed COVID-19 cases for China now stands at 85,134. The death toll remained unchanged at 4,634. A further 2,988 cases of coronavirus have been reported in the United Kingdom in the past 24 hours. Health Secretary Matt Hancock said that he was concerned about a rise in cases predominantly among young people. Two further deaths within 28 days of a positive test were recorded, taking the total number of UK's deaths to 41,551. Hancock added that people must follow the social distancing because it doesn't matter how old someone is, how affected he or she might be by this disease, and someone can pass the disease on to others. Despite the sharp rise in cases, Hancock said, the government was right to reopen schools because of the impact on children of not getting an education, adding that workplaces which have reopened are COVID-secure. Typhoon Haishen drew closer to Japan's southern mainland on Sunday, prompting authorities to recommend evacuations and warn of potentially record rainfall, unprecedented wind, high tides, and large ocean swells. Authorities urged early evacuation for more than 100,000 households in the southern prefectures of Okinawa, Kagoshima, Kumamoto, and Nagasaki. Prime Minister Shinzo Abe with relevant cabinet ministers at 4 p.m. discussed the emergency response to the typhoon. The typhoon has cut power to more than 3,000 homes in Okinawa, the southernmost island prefecture, and more than 8,000 homes in Amami, Oshima, according to the Fire and Disaster Management Agency, FDMA. Two injuries have been reported. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitled Creating Clean Air for Blue Skies. Air pollution is a problem faced by all countries in the world. Smoke from motor vehicles and factories, as well as forest fire, is a cause of air pollution. At this moment, the situation has become something alarming. In fact, World Health Organization WHO calls air pollution the silent killer. Various studies show that air pollution can cause serious health problems, ranging from damage to cells in the body, stroke, brain cancer, miscarriage, to mental health problems. How serious the impact of air pollution is that the General Assembly of the United Nations adopted the resolution of International Clean Air Day for Blue Skies on December 19, 2019. Then, Breathe Life was launched, a joint campaign led by the World Health Organization, WHO, United Nations Environment and the Climate and Clean Air Coalition, CCAC, to mobilize cities and individuals to protect health and the planet from the effect of air pollution. The commemoration of the International Day of Clean Air for Blue Skies is observed for the first time today on September 2020. At the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, many countries in the world carried out lockdowns by implementing stay-at-home policies. This condition causes the air quality in several cities in the world to be better. Air pollution has decreased and the environment has become cleaner than before. However, Nowadays, when several countries have begun to open up and allow their people to carry out various activities outdoors, air quality has decreased and air pollution has increased again, even in some places, more than before the COVID-19 pandemic. Director General of the World Health Organization, Antonio Guterres, in his message on the occasion of the International Clean Air Day, said that dramatic and systemic changes are needed by strengthening environmental standards, policies, and laws to prevent increased air pollution. He also advised countries of the world to end subsidies for fossil fuels. Indonesia, which is one of the countries with a high level of pollution, has made efforts to reduce air pollution, especially from motor vehicles. One of them is by developing electric power cars. Indonesia is considered to have the availability of natural resources that can be utilized to create independence in the development of electric vehicle batteries. Given the importance of using environmentally friendly energy for vehicles, it is time for the community to gradually switch to reducing the use of fossil fuels, using electricity, also new and renewable energy. Efforts to create clean air free of pollution can be done not only by the government, but also the people by reducing the use of motor vehicles and switching to public transportation. Besides, there must be planting more trees, quitting smoking, and not burning trash. Hopefully, the efforts made both by the government and people can reduce air pollution and can create clean air for the blue skies. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
In our regular segment Today in History, we start with the event on September 7, 1901, about the Boxer Rebellion. The Boxer Rebellion was a rebellion in China from November 1899 to September 7, 1901, against foreign power in the sectors of trade, politics, religion, and technology. Boxer began its action as anti-foreign movement, anti-imperialism, and it was a movement based on farmers in North China. The people with anti-imperialism attacked foreigners who built railroad lines and violated feng shui, and Christians who were considered to be responsible for foreign domination in China. In June 1900, Boxer attacked Beijing and killed 230 non-Chinese people. A lot of Christian and Catholic Chinese were killed in Shandong and Shaanxi provinces as part of the rebellion. Next event was in 1940 when Abdurrahman Wahid was born. Kiai Haji Abdurrahman Wahid, or well known as Gus Dur, was born in Jombang, East Java on September 7, 1940. He is an Indonesian Muslim figure and political leader who became the fourth president of Indonesia from 1999 to 2001. He substituted President P.J. Habibie after being elected by the People's Consultative Assembly, or MPR, as a result of the 1999 general election. The administration of his governance was assisted by the National Unity Cabinet. His presidential service started on 20th of October 1999, and his duty ended at a special session of MPR in 2001. The last event was in 2004 when Munir, an Indonesian human rights activist, was killed. Munir Said Talib Al-Khatiri was born in Malang, East Java on December 8, 1964. He was traveling on state-owned airline Garuda Indonesia. It was concluded from Munir's autopsy and eyewitnesses during the trial that he had died 2 hours before arrival in Schiphol International Airport, Amsterdam, the Netherlands, on September 7, 2004, at the age of 39. The man, who has Arabian descendant family, is also an Indonesian human rights activist. His last position was executive director of the Indonesian Impartial Human Rights Monitoring Institute. While serving as the Kontras Council, he was absolutely well known as a fighter for several activists who were missing at the time. Mourner's dead body was buried in the public cemetery of Batu City, East Java. And listener, that's today in history.
Melihat matamu, berjuta mimpiku. Melihat senyummu, angan aku terbang. Andai kau sadari, usahaku ini untuk mendekatimu, dekati hatimu. Kau menjauhku, tergalau-galau saat dekat. Kau berikan harapan. Aku ingin kamu, namun adakah aku menunggu cinta. Sehari tak jumpa, rasanya setahun. Saat kau tak sapa, hatiku terguncang. Hati goyang, jangan kau gantung-gantungkan harapan. Aku menunggu cinta. Kamu, namun adakah kau ingin aku seperti berbalas, namun terkadang makin enggak jelas. Aku ingin kamu, namun adakah kau ingin aku seperti berbalas, namun terkadang makin enggak jelas. Demi Tuhan aku menunggu.
Hello, listeners of Radio Republic Indonesia, wherever you are. I am Armando G. Alvarez, Ambassador of Mexico to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 75th anniversary to Radio Republic Indonesia and send my best wishes to all its members and listeners. Sekali diudara, tetap diudara.
This is our Voice of Indonesia. The next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia for today is on Indonesia and Australia signed agreement to develop renewable energy. The Indonesian government through the Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs and Investment signed an agreement with an Australian iron ore industry company, Fortescue Metals Group or FMG, to develop renewable energy in a bid to support the green industry.
The signing was carried out by Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, and founder of FMG, Andrew Forrest, at the Office of the Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs and Investment in Jakarta on Friday, September 4th. In his remarks, Minister Luhut said that the signing of this agreement demonstrates the close and strategic relationship between Indonesia and Australia. He believes that this effort will strengthen the foundation of partnerships to build a better future. He further said that through the agreement, there will be a joint task force to facilitate, accelerate, and realize FMG investment in the construction of 60 gigawatt of hydroelectric power and 25 gigawatt of renewable energy from geothermal power in Indonesia. According to Minister Luhut, Indonesia and Australia have the potential for minerals and renewable energy, so they can collaborate and become key players in the green and renewable energy industry in the global arena. He believes that the agreement promotes sustainable development that combines economic development, social progress, and environmental protection. In addition to the signing of the agreement, a letter of intent or LOI between the two sides was also signed to reduce plastic waste leakage into Indonesian waters. The signing of the LOI was carried out by Deputy for the Coordination of Environment and Forestry Management at the Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Nani Hendiarti and Andrew Forrest. According to Minister Luhut, Andrew Forrest through the Minderoo Foundation has made significant contributions to more than 280 initiatives worldwide by providing approximately $2 billion, including in major initiatives for the oceans. He believes the signing of the LOI will further strengthen Indonesia's policy to substantially reduce plastic waste leakage into Indonesian waters. Meanwhile, Andrew Forrest said that renewable energy development is a humanitarian effort to create a sustainable environment. He also pointed out that in an effort to tackle plastic waste, there will be coordination of plastic waste processing with a number of multinational companies, and the first prototype will begin to be launched in December. Meanwhile, power generation and renewable energy projects are expected to support a green industry that enhances the skills of Indonesian workforce and creates new jobs for Indonesians. And listener, that's my Indonesia for today.
Doakanlah. mencoba mengabadikan. Mungkin akan kau lupakan atau untuk dikenang. Untuk dikenang. Untuk dikenang.
RRI Voice Office, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to let you know about Lawang Sewu, Semarang in Central Java. Semarang is the capital city of Central Java. The city is the fifth biggest city in Indonesia after Jakarta, Surabaya, Medan, and Bandung. It has a lot of tourism destinations, beginning from natural, religious, and historical tourism objects. One of Semarang historical tourism objects which is well known is Lawang Sewu, which was built in the Dutch colonial. Lawang Sewu was built on February 27, 1904 as head office of NIS, one of trains companies in the Dutch East Indies. The building has high and wide windows like a door, so that local people call it Lawang Sewu, meaning a thousand of doors. Although the building is named Lawang Sewu, in fact, the building has only 429 doors. For a long time, the building was not managed. But finally, Lawang Sewu in late June 2011 was renovated and reopened for public use on July 5, 2011. Because the building was built as the head office of NIS, the history of Lawang Sewu cannot be separated from the railway in Indonesia. After the independence of Indonesia, the building is used as the Railway Office of Indonesia, or now PT Kereta Api Indonesia. Besides, it was used as Office of Infrastructure of Regional Military Command and Regional Office of Ministry of Transportation in Central Java. Meanwhile, during the struggling period, the building became a silent witness of the five-day battle in Semarang. Thus, the city's government of Semarang in 1992 entered Lawang Sewu as one of 102 historical buildings in Semarang which should be protected. Sewu is located at Tugu Muda Complex, Jalan Pemuda, Central Semarang, Semarang, Central Java, precisely at the center of Semarang City. So the access to this tourism object is easy. Lawang Sewu is open every day, starting from 6 a.m. until 9 p.m. local time. The entrance ticket is 10,000 rupiah for adults and 5,000 rupiah for students and kids. If you want to enter the basement, you will be charged 30,000 rupiah per person, and for the tourist guide is 30,000 rupiah. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Lawang Sewu in Central Java Province. Thank you for listening.
Indonesia. COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio. Stay at home, clean your hands, and follow your local health regulation.
Listener, the next segment is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In this program, we'll introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is membeli peralatan mandi, in English, buying toiletries. Listen to this conversation about membeli peralatan mandi, in English, buying toiletries. Kevin buys soap, toothbrush, toothpaste, and shampoo at a grocery store.
Permisi, Bu.
Ya?
Mau beli peralatan mandi, ada?
Ada. Butuhnya apa?
Sabun, sikat gigi, pasta gigi, dan sampo.
Ini?
Berapa total belanjaan saya?
Rp50.000.
Ini uangnya. Terima kasih.
Sama-sama.
Now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Membeli, which means to buy. Peralatan, which means equipment. Sabun, which means soap. Sikat gigi, which means toothbrush. Pasta gigi, which means toothpaste. Sampo, which means shampoo. Membeli sepatu, which means buying shoes. Berapa harganya? Berapa harganya? Which means how much is it? 200.000 rupiah, which means 200,000 rupiah. Sandal jepit, which means flip flops. If you want to buy something, you can say saya mau membeli, which means I want to buy. Saya mencari, which means I'm looking for. Or you can say apakah ada, which means is there. Well, if you want to ask the total price of goods you buy, you can say berapa total belanjaan saya, or berapa semuanya, which means how much is the total. For example, saya mau beli sepatu ini, berapa harganya? Saya mau beli sepatu ini, berapa harganya? Which means, I want to buy these shoes, how much is it? Harganya Rp200.000. Harganya Rp200.000, which means, it is Rp200.000. Saya mencari sandal jepit, apakah ada? Which means, is there a flip-flops? And the answer certainly ada or tidak ada, which means there is or there is not. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Permisi, Bu.
Ya?
Mau beli peralatan mandi, ada?
Ada. Butuhnya apa?
Sabun, sikat gigi, pasta gigi, dan sampo.
Ini?
Berapa total belanjaan saya?
Rp50.000.
Ini uangnya. Terima kasih.
Sama-sama.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Seperti merakit perahu layar, ku bersiap untuk maju. Dengan hati yang gembira, menyambut pergantian waktu untuk berjumpa denganmu. Ku pastikan kau bahagia denganku. Kau kan melihat sungguh indahnya hidup ini. Tiada yang perlu kau sesali, karena semua akan baik-baik saja. Terus berpacu dalam irama lagu yang kan hiasi harimu.
Hello, listener of Radio Republic Indonesia. My name is Gustavo Ayares, Ambassador of Chile to Indonesia. This is a wonderful opportunity to express our congratulations for the 75th anniversary of the radio. And I hope that in the future will be a wonderful future for the listener, for the community that follow this radio. All the best for you. Blessings.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions, 4750 kHz for European regions, and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner, about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we will present a keroncong song entitled Solo di Waktu Malam. Surakarta or Solo is one of cities in Central Java Province. The keroncong song Solo di Waktu Malam describes the atmosphere of Solo City at night. If the night comes, there are many interesting entertainment places which can be visited. You can see the famous and local artists making their creativities and also gamelan performance. That's a glimpse of the night atmosphere in Solo, which makes visitors comfortable visiting the city. Let's enjoy it to Emre Fani with Kroncong Song Solo di waktu malam. Enjoy the song.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia, COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio.
From Indonesia to the world.
Tiap kaki melangkah di hadapmu Dinda, adakah sedikit getar hati terasa saat senyum terlukis di wajahmu cinta? Adakah wajahku hadir dalam semesta meskiku bukan siapa-siapa?
namun ingin hati sekedar hadir menyapa cinta, memastikan kau terjaga dalam lembayung jingga, berharap nyawaku ada selintas di dalam senjamu. Oh, 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 adinda, di mata ini kau terindah. Meskipun belum tentu kau tahu aku ada, mungkin kau hanya memandang aku sebelah mata. Tapi aku tak peduli itu, ku tahu ku jauh dari nomor satu. Diriku bukan siapa-siapa, namun ingin hati sekedar hadir menyapa cinta. Biarkanlah suka yang kini ku rasa tetap jadi sebuah angan yang masih rahasia. Namun jangan sia-sia selintas di dalam senjamu. Biarlah ku pendam rasa sendiri.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kita harus mengemudikan siaran RRI sebagai alat revolusi seluruh bangsa Indonesia. Dengan jiwa kebangsaan yang murni, hati yang bersih dan jujur, serta budi yang penuh kecintaan dan kesetiaan kepada tanah air dan bangsa.
Semua yang kami angkasawan RRI, sekali di udara tetap di udara, semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti, patuh dan setia berjiwa Pancasila.
Time for me to sign off now. Keep listening to our program at www.voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions or 4750 kHz for European regions. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram voice.of.indonesia. Also, send your reception report to VOI at voinews.id. I'm Putri Safitri Adalah. See you on the next English program.